Will you take your Bible and turn with me to Revelation chapters 18 and 19? You may think it strange that I would go here to this scripture on this day when we are having communion, but I promise you I'm going here for a reason. We still believe that there are two groups of people on the earth when Jesus returns. Those who have the mark of the beast and those who have received the seal of God. Chapter 18 talks about those who are wicked and those who have not decided to follow Jesus. There comes a time in verse 5 when God at last says, "This is it." Revelation 18:5, "For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities." All the longings of the human soul, like the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, covetousness, licentiousness, all of those things will go away. Notice verse 14 with me. Now, we're speaking about the wicked right now. "The fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you." That's all of those things that I've just mentioned. "And all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all." This is a group of people you don't want to be in. Verse 19, "They threw dust on their heads, and they cried, wailing and weeping, and saying, 'Alas, alas, that great city.'" In 1 hour, she is made so desolate. Now, there's a lot of symbolism here, I admit. Some things a little difficult to comprehend. But the day is coming in which the wicked recognize that everything is lost for them. Verse 22, "The sound of the harpist, the musicians, the flutists, the trumpeters shall not be heard in you anymore." I know modern interpretation has to come into play. In John's time of witnessing, they didn't have any type of electronics. Imagine what would happen today if the cellular communication were to go down, if the satellites were to suddenly stop functioning, or if computerization in general were just to slowly be turned off and go down. Almost every industry today is governed and controlled electronically. I suppose how we look at things depends upon where we are. For this group of people, when this time in Bible prophecy comes, they recognize there's nothing else to be gained. Everything is lost, and it is bad, bad, bad. They are headed for eternal destruction. While there's another group of people who have already begun to experience Christ in them, The process of becoming Christ-like has already been started. Listen, if you will, at some of this in chapter 19. Now, I'm reading this today because I have a strong conviction that's come to my own heart. Donnie gave Debbie a little book called The Red Sea Rules. You know, brain cancer, it really plays with a person's brain. There are days that Debbie celebrates more joy than others. There are days when she enjoys Christian music and me reading the scriptures or stories. There are days when she can pray just on and on and on. And other days, it's just difficult to comprehend that necessity. So I've been reading that book, Donnie. And I got to the last chapter. And the author, who is a pastor up here in Nashville, Tennessee, quotes from Revelation 18 and 19. A little differently than I have. And his interpretation is a little different than mine. But as I read through that, I came under a personal conviction. I want to grow spiritually, and we use the word here from the pulpit sometimes, a spiritual inventory. It's a good time of the year, 2013, just beginning. I want to be right with God. I want to do the things that I can that will imitate Him. And the conviction that I have, and I believe the Holy Spirit has put this upon my own heart, and you can do with it whatever you want to, because we're not all made the same way. I realize that. We're not all at the same level of spiritual growth and maturity. I realize that too. But God's given me a personal conviction. And with His help, I'm going to change it this year. Let's see if you can figure this out. In Revelation 19, there's another group of people. These people are in heaven. In verse 1, he says, "After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, 'Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord, our God.'" Verse 3, "And again they rise up and they say, 'Alleluia.'" Verse 4, "And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne, saying, 'Amen, alleluia.'" So here we have at least three times in heaven are these groups of people who at particular moments in time use those special words of exclamation and of praise and honor. And they just, it's just simply translated here, "Hallelujah, amen, you are the God of heaven, you have done what's right, praise God." Now, where is this group? They're in heaven. The other group in chapter 18 are on the earth. Our look on circumstances is often determined by where we are. Let's read on a little bit. Verse 5, "Then a voice came from the throne saying, 'Praise our God, all you His servants, and those who fear Him, both small and great.' And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude." Now, this is not just Moses and Elijah and the 24 elders. This is a lot of people here. "I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, as the sound of mighty thunderings, saying, 'Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready.'" What came to me as I read and reread Revelation 18 and 19 is my own example of praise. Now, I pray, and I've been having a wonderful time studying in the book of Hebrews just on my own. I've been learning some precious truths just for me right now. I sing, even though I don't want you to hear me, I kind of sing when everybody else sings. Debbie and I watch Gaither videos on Sabbath afternoon, and I sing along with them, and that's praise. I enjoy that, and she does. But I'm not so sure that's the type of praise that's going on here in Revelation 19. Out of that book, I got this quote. And he just gives it as a quote, so I don't really know who said this, but I'm not making this up. I'm quoting somebody. Wisdom is seeing life from God's viewpoint. Praise is a natural reaction to that viewpoint. Now, I know that where I'm at now, in my own personal experience, influences my preaching. I know that. But let some of it rub off on you too. Praise can be a wonderful thing. But I'm not so sure that my practice of praise is exactly the level of praise that God wants us to have. It's a good start. God loves it when we praise His name. Prayer and singing are wonderful parts of worship. I know that. Why do I have to make a resolution to praise God more? Now that's my point. If I could have the right kind of wisdom from God, if I could be such that God could trust me with the right kind of wisdom and understanding, maybe let me see things a little more as God sees them, then praise would be a natural reaction to what happens rather than a purposeful and intentional praise. Case in point, I woke up this morning and the clock said 4:44. I'm glad it didn't say 6:66. I thought, I'm going to praise God. And so I did. I thanked God for just a lot of different things, laying there in the bed. Have you ever noticed how comfortable, at least at my house, my bed, I love my bed. And it's warm. And I praise God, and then a while later I got up. On the way to Ranger, I was still thinking about that. I felt good because I had done it. But it was so planned and so intentional. Now, it's not wrong. But I wish I could reach the state of praise like these Bible writers, where they say, you know, I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. Praise God in all things. I wasn't praising God around Christmas when the hot water heater went out and the washing machine wouldn't work. I can praise Him now that it's all working. But I hope you would join me in having the desire and that spiritual growth process taking place that lets us give praise to God as a natural reaction and not because we think that we need to. Wisdom is seeing life from God's perspective, God's viewpoint. And praise is a natural reaction to that viewpoint. Our service today with communion is a service of praise. Did you know that? We celebrate the Sabbath to honor God's creative ability and rest in righteousness by faith. But we celebrate the communion service. The Scripture teaches us to show the Lord's death till He come. That's what it's about. It is a praise and a memorial for what Christ has done. And actually, God would be pleased if we could praise Him in an attitude of praise all day long. August, would you come up here, please? You probably won't remember what I've said this morning, but I hope you will remember what I do. Have two containers here. This is a beautiful bowl. It was given to us by my mother. You would have to know her, but she coined the phrase, this is an original replica. It's pretty, but it doesn't have the room for much volume. Then here I have a very well-worn, you know what this is? It's a dish pan. Years ago, people washed dishes in these pans. Debbie and I happened to be wealthy enough to own a sink, so we don't wash many dishes in this pan. It's used for other purposes. But I brought this because I want to illustrate my sermon today. Charles Spurgeon, one of the men well used of God, he said, you should bathe your face every morning in God's praise. Take a bath of praise. Wash your face in the water of praise every morning. I'm going to wash my face today. Be careful of the microphone. Just symbolic that I want to have genuine praise in my life, and I'd like to bathe in it every morning. Now, why did I ask August to hold this pan with water instead of this little bowl of water? It doesn't hold enough water, absolutely. We want a lot of praise, much praise. Lord, today we ask that you would give us a bath of praise every morning. Let us bathe ourselves in your goodness. Let us keep a song upon our lips and a prayer in our heart. And Lord, not because we feel we have to, but because we want to. We want it to be natural. As we have this service, please give us a reverence in the different rooms. Let our discussion be that which would be appropriate for the Sabbath and this occasion. Let our thoughts focus upon the real reason for our praise, which is Christ who died for us and is coming back again. In Jesus' name we ask you to bless this service. Amen.